most Christian entrepreneurs I know are not excited about heaven at all.
Ideas of harps and clouds or whatever, which frankly scares the crap out of most people, Christians included, right? When they have a view of the new earth, they're ecstatic because they understand that if our ultimate reality is working with King Jesus on earth, then guess what? Eternity is now in session, as John Ortberg says.
Bold visionaries, faithful disruptors. Some call them crazy, but they are called to create. Under His Power, For His Glory, the Faith-Driven Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith-Driven Entrepreneur Podcast. If we're honest, we spend more time thinking about our summer vacations, our plans, trips that we might take with family, than we think about where we might spend eternity. Now, I'm not talking about the idea of heaven. I'm talking about understanding what does heaven look like and how does it shape our journeys today as faith-driven entrepreneurs. The more we understand what we're running towards, what we're going to, I think it helps us understand ways that we can build, invest, and give and create together. So our friend Jordan Rayner is here with us in the studios here in Dallas, and we're going to unpack what this looks like. Let's get started with today's episode.
Man, one of the fun things about Dallas, I've told this story enough, but I tell a story about like how I'm married a girl from Texas. Yeah. I give Texas a hard time.
You should.
We should.
You should. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Good. We're on the same page here. Yeah.
So I often say like, again, I thought the Old Testament proverb was true. Like you come to Texas, you work the land. 7 years later, I think it's in the Old Testament, you get to leave with the girl. If that conversation doesn't go well or something weird happens, maybe 14 years. But after 14 years, you get to leave. But here I am 20-some-odd years later. It's home.
Yeah.
It's home. But one of the perks about being in Dallas is a lot of people come to Dallas.
I'm in Dallas all the time.
Fly through Dallas.
I don't know why I don't own a place here.
And this is such a treat when you're flying through Dallas that we get this time.
I know, man. We're here. I was here last week.
You were here last week. And okay, so let's dive into that.
Yeah.
Like one of the things that talking about this that I love that you got a chance to encourage other entrepreneurs at.
Yeah.
Great event, C12. Good friends of Mike Sheriff. If you're not familiar with C12, check them out. Find ways that you can get involved there. But I think the message that you delivered there is a message that I think that is specifically important for this generation, our generation.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in a Christian home, and we grew up in, I don't know, the Dobson era where it was like, this good, this bad. But what we've grown into in these last 10, 20 years is like there's this big thing in the middle of gray that I mean, if we candidly call it what it is, spiritual warfare, it's more crafty.
Mm.
And we've got to look to spot the lie.
Mm.
Mm. You know, our church has this idea of like you watch a movie. Don't just take everything you've seen, but have those moments with your kids where you can say like, hey, spot the lie and engage the lie.
Yeah.
And I know this is something that we've talked about and you've thought a lot about is like, what are the lies that are all around us that like water, we've just gotten so used to swimming in them that we've missed?
Oh yeah, man, so good. So I'm glad you brought up the C12 Current Conference. I got to give this keynote, I've been giving it a lot lately, that I call Half Truths About Heaven. Mm. Because in my experience, most Christians haven't bought full-blown lies about eternity, but they have bought these wishy-washy half-truths about heaven peddled by culture, and I would include in that church culture. Rather than the whole truths we find in Scripture, and these half-truths are incomplete enough that they rob us of our purpose in our businesses in the present and our hope for our future. So, for example, one of the half-truths I talk about in this talk is this half-truth that Earth is our temporary home, right? Kind of true, right? Earth as we know it is our temporary home. But the whole truth that we see in Isaiah 65, Revelation 21 and 22, is that Earth is our temporary home until Christ returns and makes it our perfect and permanent home once again. According to God's word, nobody, including Jesus Christ, will spend eternity in heaven. As we say in our churches all the time, God did not fit us for heaven to dwell with them there. He promised heaven on earth and to live with us here. And this could not be more important to the purpose that we have in our business today. Let me break down the stakes. Here's the deal. If earth is indeed our temporary home and the present heaven, right, where the souls of the redeemed are currently with Christ is our permanent home, then matter doesn't matter.
Bumper sticker, matter doesn't matter.
Matter doesn't matter, right? Like this microphone doesn't matter, this table doesn't matter, the laptop that you entrepreneur are typing on right now or listening to this podcast on does not matter. And if that's true, then only the spiritual work you do within your business of sharing the gospel with your coworkers and customers, writing a check to the missionaries on your refrigerator matter, but not the material stuff. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, then let's be honest, less than 1% of our time as faith-driven entrepreneurs matters for eternity. Because I don't know about you, I serve as executive chairman of Threshold 360. I spend less than, 0.1% of my time in that business explicitly walking those team members through the gospel. Justin, that math is deeply depressing, but it's also deeply unbiblical. Yeah. Because if earth will one day be our perfect and permanent home, right, then matter has to matter deeply to God, because Jesus' blood paid to redeem both the spiritual and the material. And if that's true, as Colossians 1 says, that he came to reconcile to himself all things, then 100% of your time at work matters for eternity, both the spiritual and the material. This guy, Dr. Miroslav Volf at Yale, says, quote, "The significance of secular work depends upon the value of creation."
Yeah.
"And the value of creation depends upon its final destiny," end quote. And because the final destiny of creation is redemption and renewal rather than destruction and obliteration, you, entrepreneur, can be confident that your work with the earth, typing on that aluminum MacBook, making spreadsheets, building PowerPoints, whatever, all of it has to matter to God.
Entrepreneurship can be a lonely journey. The weight of leadership, heavy. You've been called to create impact through your business. But here's the truth. Isolation kills vision. Comfort destroys calling. That's why Faith-Driven Entrepreneur created our foundation groups. Join 10 fellow entrepreneurs who truly understand your path just for 1 hour a week for 8 weeks. Online or in person. Together, you'll explore God's purpose for your business through practical, purposeful discussions with others who really get it. Don't journey alone. Your calling is too important. Visit faithdrivenentrepreneur.org and join a group today. That's faithdrivenentrepreneur.org.
I mean, and we joked earlier about this idea that it's a bumper sticker and
it's
a phrase, but I think that that points to this idea is there are catchy phrases. There are catchy things out there.
Yeah.
Like what you're talking about is the domino effect.
Yeah.
Of if you accept one,
yes,
where does that lead?
We accept bumper stickers rather than scripture.
Yeah.
Right? Like I hear from pastors I otherwise love and respect all the time, quote, "The only two things that last for eternity are God's word and people," end quote. Where are, that is not in God's word. Revelation 21 tells us this earth is eternal. It says God's holy city is eternal. See the New Jerusalem. Isaiah 60 says some works of entrepreneurs' hands, including the ships of Tarshish, are eternal, right? So we, to your point, we accept these bumper stickers rather than do the hard work, it is hard, of diving into God's word about what it says about this world that we work with as entrepreneurs to make this world more useful and beautiful for other human beings' benefit and enjoyment.
Yeah, it really is that place of, like, again, that when we get to this place of seeing heaven is not a, I don't know, this place of comfort and cherubs and the old images.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, like, what is that new image of heaven? I know there's other things that, like, you talk about some of the lies, but what's the better bumper sticker?
Yeah.
What's the better version? And it's not the cherub. Like, if we were to think of heaven and we're thinking about this in a poster of it, is it more of a peaceful work?
Yeah.
Is it more of like a quintessential town where it's a painting and everybody looks like they're all happy? Is that how we should be viewing kind of the perspective where work meets heaven?
Yeah, listen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, so we don't know fully, but scripture does give us really good clues. So one of these half-truths that I break down in the talk and break down in my book, The Sacredness of Secular Work, is that we will worship for eternity, right? That's that half-truth that conjures up ideas of harps and clouds or whatever, which frankly scares the crap out of most people, Christians included, right? So, and I call it a half-truth that we'll worship for eternity because on our very best days, our definition of that word worship is half-true, right? When we look at scripture, it's clear in Genesis 2, that Hebrew word, as many of our listeners probably know, for work in Genesis 2:15 is this Hebrew word abad, which is the exact same word that we translate to mean worship elsewhere in scripture, which means Adam and Eve were worshiping God not just when they walked with them in the morning or sang him a song. They were worshiping him as they engaged in the work of their hands prior to the fall. right? And what may come as a shock to a lot of people, the same will be true for you and me for eternity. Isaiah 65 says, God says through the prophet Isaiah, starting in verse 17, "See, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. My people will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands, and they will not labor in vain." Scripture makes it abundantly clear that we will worship God for eternity, yes, but the whole truth is that we will worship God for eternity by singing and by working free from the curse of sin forever and ever. I tell entrepreneurs all the time, I was in a meeting with 12 Christian entrepreneurs in Chicago a couple of months ago. And there was a particularly holy moment in the conversation. We were talking about super tactical stuff about P&Ls and whatever. But it was super holy in the sense that it was clear that this entrepreneur who was workshopping something was thinking about that P&L through a truly redemptive lens in a way that was not about blessing him, but about blessing others. And I stopped the conversation. I said, "This is a more accurate picture of eternity, of heaven on earth, on the new earth, than cherubs and harps and clouds." According to scripture.
Redemptive Excel spreadsheets can be a more...
That's exactly right. Okay. That's exactly right.
So I love that that we're talking about the place that work has in it.
Yeah.
I think that also, like, we have this view of, like, heaven is like, it's... Is there some escapism that kind of we're chasing? Is there something... I'm trying to think of some of the other ways that we've misinterpreted kind of the view of heaven. Is it because that we are exhausted? Is it because that we were overwhelmed? Is it because, you know, we don't get joy out of our work, yeah, that therefore we default to escapism?
Yeah, in my experience is limited, right? This isn't statistically significant data. Most Christian entrepreneurs I know are not excited about heaven at all. Right?
Even when they have a better understanding of work in heaven.
No, when they have a view of the new earth, they're ecstatic about it. Right? But it's not an escapist excitement. It's not a, "Oh man, I can't wait until then," because they understand that if our ultimate reality is working with King Jesus on earth, then guess what?
Yeah.
Eternity is now in session, as John Ortberg says. Yeah. It's a continuation of what I'm doing right now. When we understand this vision of working with Christ forever, we can start to see that the work we do with Him, powered by the Holy Spirit today as entrepreneurs, is anything but secular or temporal. We are rehearsing something that is deeply sacred and eternal. And so we don't have to give a religious explanation for every single thing that we do. Yeah. We don't have to make all the T's in our logos crosses in order for that work to be worship. The work is intrinsically worship when it is done with God. It's not what we do that makes the work sacred. It's who we do the work with and for. And so long as you're doing your work as an entrepreneur for the glory of God and the good of others, you're rehearsing for eternity today.
More and more pastors are realizing the church can be a launching pad, equipping entrepreneurs to build redemptively and make a real difference. We've made it simple to serve the entrepreneurs in your church and your city. No cost, no catch. Get access to a ready-to-go video series, templates, and tools to host an 8-week foundation group right in your church. Just register with us, and we'll even direct local entrepreneurs to your community. We're building a network of 250 partnering churches across the country, each one featured as a go-to hub for faith-driven entrepreneurs in the area. Want to join the movement? All it takes is a 10-minute call with our team. Visit the link below to get started.
I think that this comes to a previous podcast of what we've done on this, is like, when you discover the joy, when you discover the missional intent of it, and when you also discover this idea of playing and this freedom to it, then all of a sudden you can say, wow, this is that moment of like heaven come to earth, like saying, like, hey, we're beginning into that conversation today, and that will be an extension of course other things change, but yet there's this moment, like, we can experience that joy to it.
Yes.
It almost kind of feels like, is there then this litmus test? And I would agree, it's not as prevalent with entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
But if we view heaven as this escapism, if we view it as this comfort, it's kind of like an indicator light to say, hey, you might not have the holistic perspective of work that you need.
That's right.
And so it's interesting to me as now I think about conversations you have, whether it be family members or friends, that maybe that is a litmus test. We can say, hey, there's a trigger here.
Yeah. You know what is super relevant to entrepreneurs in my experience? Once you grasp this, once you pass that litmus test and you do understand that eternity is now in session, it is a silver bullet to hurry.
Hmm.
Because, man, I used to sit on my couch at night and freak out about all the companies I want to launch, but no, I'm not going to have time to launch. Mm. All the products and the initiatives and the projects I want to do, but no, they're going to stay on my someday maybe list in OmniFocus, my to-do list app forever. But once you understand the reality of the new earth, you can be at peace with those unfinished symphonies, right? Because here's what's going to happen. We're all going to die with unfinished symphonies within our businesses and outside of those businesses. And when we enter the nap that is death, one of three things will happen. Number one, God will complete that work through somebody else. And if he does, blessed be the name of the Lord. You're not special. I'm not special. If he wants the work to continue, he's going to continue. He's going to tap somebody else to do it. Or number two, he'll complete it with no human involvement, right? Which again, blessed be the name of the Lord. Or number three, when I arise from the nap that is death, he'll put that project right back in my hands and give me the joy of completing that unfinished symphony on the new earth, literally with him next to me physically, free from the curse of sin, free from the tyranny of time. That will be a blissful and joyful day. And so I'm cool that I literally call it in my commitment tracking system, OmniFocus, I have three folders of projects: this week, this quarter, and then someday maybe / new earth. And that list is very, 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 very long. And I'm increasingly at peace with how long it is.
I love the practical nature of naming it that.
Oh, yeah. Because I look at it every day.
Well, and I love the practical nature of it because every entrepreneur has it.
Yes.
It's either in the back of their notepad, it's on a note on their iPhone.
Or it's rolling around in their head, causing them stress in the shower.
It's the stress in the shower.
Yes.
But the freedom to sit there and say, gosh, take away the limits of time and tell an entrepreneur that they're going to have endless opportunities to pursue partnership and redemption, like opportunities for forever. Like,
dude,
it changes things.
When we were talking before we started recording
about
this TV show I'm trying to make right now,
and
it pains me to know, to stare my finitude in the face in the mirror every morning and know that I might not make it in this life, man. It pains me. Even talking about it with you right now, I feel that pain. But this conversation is reminding me, who cares? Yeah. Who cares? I'm going to have forever to do all these various projects for Christ's glory and the advancement of his kingdom on earth. Mm. Man, like, as a kid, I dreaded the idea of heaven.
Mm.
But now, as an adult that spent the last 15 years really chewing on the sweet theology of the new earth, I'm ecstatic about endless time and being able to do this work with Christ and for him forever, man.
I think that I think about some of these old, you know, game shows.
Yeah.
Where like you start up, I'm thinking Price is Right. Okay. You put something in at the top, it starts in a bunch of different places, but maybe it ends at the same place at the end.
Yeah.
I think whether the view of heaven is broken.
Yeah.
Bored.
Yeah.
Excited.
Yeah.
Or across the spectrum.
Yeah.
I think there's a recasting that needs to be done there.
Yeah.
Because like when we see that and we see the excitement and the optimism of that, it changes everything. I mean, like think about your sports analogy. If you know more about the prize,
yes,
you tasted that side of victory, you've tasted something, you compete differently.
Yes.
I think in the same way here, it's really hard to run the race well.
Yes.
If you don't know where it's going, if you don't know who you're playing with, if you know what you know who you're running with, I think there's a big piece we've missed. We've seen the person we're running with in Christ Jesus, but we've missed maybe where we're going.
Bro, most Christians I know have spent more time thinking about a single week-long vacation than they have thought about the nature of eternity.
That hits home for everybody.
And if that's you, you will subconsciously go through this life and this work with subpar joy and subpar hope and subpar purpose in the business in the present because you're settling for culture's view of heaven rather than scriptures. So my charge to you, don't go, I mean, if you want to read the sacred and second word, great, but go back to the source IP. good Isaiah 65, go to Revelation 21 and 22 and chew on this theology of the new earth. It's like a hard candy that the more you suck on it, the sweeter it gets. And I promise you, God will use that to unlock unparalleled sense of purpose in the present and a whole lot more hope for our eternal future.
So good. Love it. Love it. The fact that we're here in Dallas, you're able to stop through.
Yeah, man.
Always great to
see you. It's good hanging.
Hey, friends, if you're listening to this and you are wrestling with this question, you might not have this like joy-filled adventure of the adventure that you're on or this picture of what heaven will be. Here's my encouragement. Find a place to think this confusion out loud. Find a place and friends to do that with, because you are not the only one struggling with these things. Like Jordan talked about, many of us, we're struggling. We're putting so much more thought into our vacations, our trips, our plans, than thinking about what it is that we are running towards or who it is that we are running with. Great place for you to do that. Great ministries like C12, like Jordan talked about, as well as faith-driven entrepreneur groups. Find a group, whether it's online or in person, couple of weeks, just begin the conversation of thinking the things that you've been thinking up here with friends and people that get you, that understand you, and are coming from a similar place of struggle, but also of opportunity of what could be. So check that out on our website. Always great to be with you. We look forward to seeing you next week.
Come for content, stay for community. Join a faith-driven entrepreneur group online or in person. No cost, no catch. Visit faithdrivenentrepreneur.org. That's faithdrivenentrepreneur.org.